Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 7, day 5 of our study of Luke. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Luke 18, 18 through 43. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. If you've been blessed by this podcast and you're interested in helping with the production cost, we have a Patreon page where you can join in. Links are in the description and the show notes. With that, let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Oh, speak to us. Come and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Luke 18, starting in verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Verse 19, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." One of the things that I want to focus on early on in this story is you know, he says, "Good teacher." And Jesus keys in on that word good. He says, "Why do you call me good?" He's like, "Let's have an exchange here. What exactly do you mean by good?" Because Jesus says, "No one's good except for God." And this is a really important point. This is something that this guy is saying. It's something that is actually a question that's very common to people nowadays. And really, it's been a common question for a very long time. And the question is this. You probably have heard the question. You probably know the question. You may have asked the question many times. You may be asking it right now. How could a good God allow bad things to happen to good people? And Jesus takes aim at that very question with what he says here. He says, "Why do you call me good? Because no one but God is good." We all have to understand that no one is good. And the very heart of that question, there's three fundamental things going on in that question that we ask God. Why would a good God allow bad things to happen to good people? There's three presuppositions that we make when we ask that question that I think Jesus would take issue with. Number one, when we say, "Why would a good God let bad things happen to good people," we're not actually asking the question. We're actually making an accusation. What we're actually saying is God can't be good if he lets bad things happen to good people. That's really what we're saying. The first part of that is not a question. It's really an accusation. And so we're not even starting from a place of honesty. We're really starting from a place of accusation. And then we go on and really, like, the bad things, we can kind of see bad things, and everybody defines bad things the way that they want to define bad things. It may be different for every person. But the last part, good people, that's the part that Jesus was take issue with, saying, "You're not good." So what you're saying is, why does God allow bad things happen to bad people, is the way Jesus would put it, because only God is good. So everyone else is bad. Everyone else is evil and sinful. That's the way Jesus would describe this, and that's the way the Bible would describe it. So that very question, that is really Jesus is taking this guy to task on that, because that same mentality is in this guy here that we have now when we ask that kind of question or when we make that accusation. And Lord would say, "Well, they're not good." And so you're a little bit off even in the asking of the question. Verse 25. "Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." This is a hard saying right here, and especially for them, because in their mindset, and really we have a lot of this mindset in the Western church today, is if you're blessed, if you've got lots of money, then God's kind of on your side and God likes you. And Jesus is actually saying, actually, if you have money, it's impossible for you to come to God. It's impossible for you to enter the kingdom of God. And then the disciples are like, oh my gosh, well then who can be saved? The rich can't be saved. The prosperous, the ones that it seems like God's blessing, who can be saved? And Jesus says, listen, it's possible for anything with God. Whatever seems impossible is possible with God. So in reality, it's impossible for any of us to enter the kingdom of God. It's not possible for any of us, rich or poor, to enter the kingdom of God. We get into the kingdom of God because God made it possible for us, not because it was possible beforehand. And the Lord says, listen, if you have lacked in this world, you will be blessed in the next, and even promises blessing in this life for those that give things up. And I think this is a bit paradoxical, but I think we see this play out all the time is when we give up things in this life, we do get blessed in this life. Very often it's in other ways. It's not often in, you know, when we give up money, it's not often that we get blessed monetarily. It's often that we're blessed other ways. Sometimes it is blessed monetarily. When we give up wealth, he gives us more wealth in this life. Sometimes it doesn't always happen that way. The Lord definitely does give us riches in this life and the next when we lay down the things of this world. Verse 31, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what Jesus was talking, what he was talking about. It's interesting to me that Luke points this out, that Jesus tells them this very plainly, right? That as we go into Jerusalem, they're going to kill me. All of this stuff is going to happen. And what he's saying, it's almost like Luke is saying they thought he was telling them another parable. Like they didn't even get that this was Jesus being very forthright and very clear. I find that very interesting, but he's saying that the Lord actually hid this from them. It wasn't that they just were too stupid to get it. It's the Lord actually hid this from their understanding. Verse 35, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. When you're desperate, you do things that aren't culturally appropriate sometimes. When you're desperate, you break the rules. When you're desperate, you won't let people tell you no. We need to be desperate before the Lord. We need to be desperate for the presence of the Lord. We need to be desperate that the Lord would come and save those members of our family. They would provide for us, that he would do the things that we're asking him to break in and do. We need to be desperate. And above everything else, we want to be desperate for the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Oh, I pray that we will be desperate, that he will give us that desperation for him, for the 10-week Bible study. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.